Hello and welcome to the collective. I'm Zachmo.
I'm Collector.
And this is our pilot episode of our collective podcast. You can expect to learn about all things collecting. So sit back, relax, have fun, enjoy.
Sweet. So why don't you tell us what was the first thing you ever started collecting?
First thing I started collecting was definitely Pokemon cards back in 1999 when they first hit the US. I was 7 years old. And I can definitely remember going to the store on the avenue and going with some friends and, you know, getting some Pokemon cards and ripping, looking for them Charizards.
On the avenue, like you would like go to bodegas trying to find Pokemon cards?
Yeah, there was a specific store called
fake Pokemon cards too.
They might have had fake. I couldn't remember that far back. I'm not that old, but, you know, it was a specific store called Lotus
that we used to go to.
Yeah. So
this was a sex shop. This was not Pokemon cards. You were buying dildos.
No. It was definitely not a sex shop. I think it was an old school candy bar.
Lotus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they had like a whole bar set up with like bar stools, but they mostly sold like gift cards or like, you know, like holiday cards and stuff like that, and a crap ton of Pokemon cards. And I remember specifically going there and just going ape shit on it.
Interesting. I didn't have a sex shop that I bought Pokemon cards from. I went to a different
place. Must be nice.
Whoops. Yeah. I actually didn't start with Pokemon cards though, but that's another topic.
What did you start with?
I've been collecting like since I was able to collect things. I think that the first thing that I was able to collect was like Power Ranger stuff. I actually have still to this day my original Power Ranger card collection. I don't have my original Pokemon cards. Those got lost in the shuffle somewhere, but I still have all my OG Power Ranger stuff. But like my whole family collects, like we all have the bug. When I was super young, my grandma and grandpa were still alive and they sold at flea markets. Like that was their fun job. You know what I mean? They like did that on the weekends and they would take me to the flea markets with them. Their garage, bro, was like floor to ceiling, just filled with stuff. Like whatever you could imagine, my grandma collected dolls, like creepy ass dolls. She had like a doll room. My grandpa.
I hate creepy dolls.
Yeah, dude. Oh my god, they were bad.
I went to a therapist when I was in sixth grade, and the room was just full of creepy dolls.
In a therapist's office.
How am I supposed to feel calm in a therapist office when all I can see are just dolls looking at me?
Yeah, no, that's not terrible. My style either. That's awful. That is awful.
Terrible.
So my grandpa was a mechanic and he had like a lot of different tools. Anyway, they had stuff and they got that. I think that's like where I got the collecting bug. My uncles and cousins, they all collect too. So I have some cousins that are a little bit older than me. They were into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I inherited their collections when they grew out of them. So I had Power Rangers and TMNT before I ever had Pokemon. But then as soon as Pokemon came out, I was like pretty heavy into it. And we would go and buy packs or whatever, trade the cards, do all that stuff. But I collected a lot of different things. I collected like Dan Marino memorabilia. The movie Ace Ventura was like my connection to the sports world. I was never like big into sports, but Ace Ventura was like one of my favorite movies. And so I collected Dan Marino memorabilia. Side quest story. Right there.
You said we used to trade and everything. That was back when trading didn't really matter with value. It was all about trading for what you know you traded for what you wanted.
Absolutely.
Like, oh man, that Weedle's cool, let me get it, here's a Charizard. Yep. I mean, 30 years later you're regretting it, but you got that Weedle.
Well, I'll tell you what, dude, so I think a lot of that is still alive today in the younger generations of Pokemon collectors. I have an office at a Pokemon store, and sometimes these kids come in with these trades that they've done and it's like, what are you doing? But I actually, you know, at the same time, it's more pure, You know what I mean? That's Definitely. What collecting is about.
Definitely.
There's a lot, and we'll talk about this on future episodes or later tonight maybe, but there's a lot of like investing and money and how much is this worth? How much is that worth? And when we were 7, 8 years old, I mean, a Charizard was worth $1 million, you know, in my head.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
But so was the Kangaskhan that I needed, you know, and in your case, the Weedle, which is lame.
Hey,
even then.
Listen, String Shot is unmatched.
Okay. It's goated.
You know, yeah, it's goated. Don't try me on that.
All right. So I'll save my, I have a side quest story. I'll bring it up another time. I said side quest story and then never got to it, but I'll bring it up another time regarding Dan Marino. There's a, something to keep the users coming back. You'll hear more about Dan Marino in the future.
So if you want to hear about Dan Marino, you got to make sure you come back.
Episode 63. We'll be talking about 63.
We're marking it now. Episode 63, Dan Marino. He will be here.
We're interviewing him. Yeah, he's just got a very busy schedule, so we had to book him 62 weeks in advance.
But exactly. He'll be
here on The Collective.
Who was your favorite Power Ranger?
Tommy, the Green Ranger, always was my favorite. I still collect Power Ranger stuff to this day. I have like the full size Red Ranger helmet. I have
You got to show us that one day.
I have it. It's up in my attic, which is in this room. But I have a dragon flute, functional dragon flute. I probably have. I'm connected to my headphones, right? Yeah, like you can't see it obviously because of the background. Well, but I have
do an episode of showing off collections.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. I have a Megazord in the room. Anyway, Tommy was my favorite Power Ranger always. My sister also enjoyed Power Rangers. I have a younger sister, and we would always play like Power Rangers, and she would be Kimberly, I would be Tommy. We had a cousin who would play, who regrettably always had to be the Yellow Ranger. She was always butthurt about it, and it was just
the only other girl.
Yeah, it was just the three of us. There were no other boy rangers, but yeah, Tommy was my favorite. I had a birthday party thrown for me when I was like whatever 5, 6, whatever, and it was a Power Ranger themed birthday party, and I got this like Green Ranger cutout, like life size Green Ranger cutout. I forget what they're called, but like those big cardboard cutout things. And after the party, we put it.
Pretty
in my room.
Sure it's just called a life size cutout.
Called a cutout. I thought maybe it had a name. You dick. I put it in my room, and I remember having absolute fucking nightmares because of that thing. Like I would wake up, and it would just be this fucking huge, domineering Green Ranger figure in my room. I was like 5 or 6 years old, like fucking terrified every time I opened my eyes.
Two things. One, can you guess who my favorite Power Ranger is?
The Blue Ranger.
No. Fuck. Close, but no. It's obviously the Black Ranger. His name is Zach.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Black Ranger, but I didn't want to get canceled on my first episode, so
for saying the Black Ranger. Okay, we're gonna go back to that one day of why the Black Ranger is gonna get you canceled. But secondly, going back to your Green Ranger horror sleep paralysis demon story. When I was really young, I was really into Barney. And I used to watch him religiously. And then one day, I think I was maybe 3 or 4, we had a block party and they had a Barney come in a suit. So my mom grabs me. She's like, let's go meet Barney. It's going to be awesome. You're going to be so happy. I cried so hard, ran straight to the house and did not come out until the block party was over. I was terrified of that big-ass purple dinosaur.
I had a Barney party, too, now that you mention it. I think I was too young to collect at that point, but I was super into Barney as well.
I mean, Barney was the shit.
Yeah, I agree. My father's coworker, whatever, he dressed up as Barney at one of my parties. It was like, I was born in September. It was like fucking 100 degrees outside. And he's
poor man.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible. We still talk about it to this day.
Oh, boy. All right, so we both started collecting when we were young.
Definitely. And I've been collecting ever since, even in and out. And I don't know, have you been collecting ever since? Did you like stop collecting for a while?
There was a time where I stopped. So like I stopped collecting Pokemon cards a long time ago, and my old Pokemon cards got lost in You know the shuffle as they all do. Everybody has that story of, I had three Charizards and now I'm poor. But
I wouldn't have gotten divorced if I still had my Charizard.
She would have taken it. excuse the beeping sound. Just my insulin pump. And so...
Bookmark that. We'll talk about diabetes.
No, I can go on and on about diabetes. 28 years of it. So what did I really... Because I've always been a collector of things. Started in 2014, I started collecting Funko Pops.
Okay.
And that went downhill in the sense of I didn't stop.
Actively collecting?
No. I mean, it stopped because I got back into Pokemon. Thanks to a Mr. Collector. But my good friend George got me back into Pokemon cards, and then I just happened upon your stream. But I have about 350 Funko Pops.
Okay.
So, I mean, I wouldn't say it's the greatest collection, but it's a pretty solid collection.
It's a huge collection.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't have everything displayed.
Are you an inbox collector?
In and out.
Okay.
So I take, depending on what it is, I'll take it out of the box. If it's a exclusive, it's staying in the box. So exclusive like Hot Topic or Walmart, you know, one of those kinds of exclusives. Those stay in the box 100%. But like my office collection, I have half of them out and all the exclusives are in.
So you're a single purchase collector. Because I've heard of this. I don't collect Funkos. I have like maybe 15 or so. But I've heard from like real serious Funko collectors that they buy two of every Funko. One in and one out.
No.
Have you heard that?
I've never heard that. It makes sense though. I can understand it.
I've seen collections like the box and then one out of the box in front of it.
Well, I've seen collections where it's the box, it's turned sideways, and they just have it out. They may not just be buying two. They may just be buying one and taking it out, but keeping the box so that they can put it back in the box one day.
How do you know if it's come out of a box? Is that a thing? Are there people checking that out?
If somebody can figure that out, good for them, because I have no freaking clue.
Interesting. Okay.
I would have done that, like taking them out of the box and keeping the box. I just don't have the room for that.
Yeah. Especially I threw out the boxes for all of mine because of that. I had, like I said, I had like 15 or 20 Funko Pops, nothing crazy. And I did a cross-country move, and I was like, I'm never going to want to sell these things. I threw out all the boxes. Come to find out some years later, one of them got like grailed. This, I have a Tony Montana Funko Pop. It's worth like $400 if I have the box.
Scarface?
Yeah.
That's pretty dope. And it's out of the box?
It's out of the box. I don't have the box. It's gone.
See, I have this one I kind of regret taking out of the box. I have all four Mean Girls.
Oh, nice.
And all four of them together, it's worth not crazy amounts, but it's worth a decent, you know, a pretty penny. But of course, I took them all out of the box just so I can sit there and have them.
Yeah, I don't want to know why you took the Mean Girls out of the box. We can save that for another episode, maybe with a lava lamp or something.
Oh, God. Lava lamp. So for those who don't know what a lava lamp is, my friend the collector here has a TikTok stream where he rips Pokemon cards, rips and chips. And we have a thing called a lava lamp where he takes it out. And that's when we know it's collector after dark.
It is an actual lava lamp. If you're just
there is an actual lava lamp.
You've never seen it. I put a lava lamp on screen, and that signifies that, people can say and do whatever they please during the stream. Prior to that, I do my best to keep it like a family-friendly stream, which this podcast likely will not be.
I'd also like to add in that me talking about my Mean Girls Funko Pops does not need the lava lamp out. The man.
I disagree with that sentiment.
Yeah. I disagree with you.
What is your favorite item in your collection?
Well, that's a tough one. Let's narrow that down. Funko Pops or Pokemon cards?
I don't know. Does it matter? Do you have like a grail item that you were like chasing and you finally have that one particular thing?
Maybe not in Pokemon cards. Because the Grail would definitely be getting my hands on a base set Charizard again. I don't care the quality of it.
Got it. Okay.
I can say that one of my favorite Funko Pops, kind of digging into Funko Pops here, but is my Jan Brady and George Glass 2-pack.
Okay.
For those of you who haven't seen the Brady Bunch movie in the 90s, Jan makes up a boyfriend called George Glass, and he doesn't exist. So in the 2-pack, it's Jan Brady on one side, and there's an open spot on the other side because doesn't exist. It's one of my favorite pops.
Yeah, I did not know that existed. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it definitely would be that. What about you? What's your favorite item that you have?
I collect across a lot all of collections. That's a really
across all collections.
You're right. It's a very difficult question. You're right. I collect a lot of things. I don't know, man. It was one of the things I wanted to talk about. My favorites change quite often. I would say at the moment, the thing I would have the hardest time letting go of is my PSA 10 Gengar alt art slab. I love it. I think it's awesome. I think it's one of the best alternate arts in the Sword and Shield era of Pokemon. I like it more than the vintage slabs I have. I have a lot of vintage Gengar stuff. I used to have a lot of vintage Charizard stuff. But for me, my collections are constantly rotating. I've collected, mm-hmm. I've always been a collector of many, many different things. And I find that for me, a big part of collecting is sourcing, talking to people, getting to know people, buying, selling. I enjoy that part just as much as I enjoy having the items. In fact, I often find that the chase of finding the particular item far outweighs the dopamine hit I get once I have the chase item. For me, it's about the journey of getting it more than it is about having it, which I think is different from some other collectors. A lot of people want to have their items, displayed or in their collection box or however they keep their things. But for me, I don't know. Maybe it's because I've been collecting so many things for so long. I just find that oftentimes finding the item is more important than actually having the item itself.
I can agree with that. No, I can agree with that. In some aspects, I definitely feel like right now I'm trying to master the Paldean Fates set. And the chase of getting all of these cards, because I've narrowed it down to a heck of a smaller number than what it was. And the chase of getting all of them has been a lot more fun than having all of them, I think. Yeah. Because I mastered the 151 set.
Mm-hmm.
And
on stream, now it's just first set you mastered.
Okay, calm down.
I was very happy about it. I helped you along the way, you jerk.
You did. I appreciate it. And now it just sits in a binder and that's what it's doing. So I definitely understand what you're saying.
That's my point with a lot of these collections, right? I collect pretty high end slabs. A lot of what I do in my job requires me to, make big purchases. And oftentimes, it just so happens that making trades is easier than making big purchases. So I end up with high end slabs or I trade high-end slabs for other items, et cetera, et cetera. And I will just be jonesing to get my hands on a particular slab, a graded card. If you don't know what that is, they're graded by an external company. It increases the value. Anyway, finding the slab is way more exciting and exhilarating than owning it. Because to your point, it just sits in my slab box. You know, I take them out. I look at them. I put them on display on stream. They're cool to have. But I think it's more about the people and the community of collectors. For me, there's other collectors that probably feel very differently about that. But that's for me is what it's all about, you know.
Well, there's also there's the collectors that are in it primarily for the investment and the money,
right,
and the flipping of these items. But I definitely feel with the community that you've built with the Collectors Club, it's a whole lot more fun trading. Finding things that you need, having things that other people need. And, you know, sometimes I don't even trade. I'm just, you know, here, you can have it. I don't need it. You need it for your set. It's definitely a lot more fun doing this as a collective community. So that's definitely one thing about collecting I definitely appreciate.
Yeah, me too. And it's the same with every collectible that I've been a part of, really. There's, you know, there's a few communities that I haven't dabbled in. I've never collected, like, actually, I don't know everything. I was just going to say, like, I've never collected stamps. That's not true. I have a stamp collection. I was going to say I never collected coins, but I have
Loser.
A coin collection. Dude, I'm going to show you my stamps. They're sick. I have like Marvel stamps, DC stamps, Disney stamps. They're not stamps from like the 20s. They're modern stamps. Anyway, coins Loser. I collected for a short coins I collected for a short time. Now I have like silver Pokemon coins. Anyway, all
do
of those.
Do you have a graded coin?
All right, that's a callback to the stream. You'd have to be a part of the stream to understand why that's funny. Yes, I have a graded coin.
Is it green?
It is green. It is a green graded vile plume.
So coin. If you didn't know, you can grade cards and put them in a slab using an external company, like he said. Or you can grade these Pokemon coins. And he just happens to have one, and I like busting his balls about it.
Yeah, you can grade any coin, actually. PSA will grade real currency as well. There's several companies that grade currency, and it's extremely expensive. Us Pokemon collectors, we are the bottom of the barrel financially when it comes to some of these other crazy collections.
Definitely.
Stamps are obscenely expensive. Sports cards are obscenely expensive. Coins, obscenely expensive when you get into like the high-end market. The Pokemon high-end market, generally speaking, has a cap. Other than the top like 1% of collectors in Pokemon, generally speaking, those the items cap at, you know, $10,000-$20,000 per item. Versus,
oh, it's just,
you know,
just $10,000-$20,000 per item.
Well, I'm saying, man, like sports collecting, you're talking about cards that are, you know, slabs every season. They're slabs going for $500,000 for specific.
And my Weedle players. Is probably worth like what, 5 cents?
Your Weedle is not. You'd be lucky to find someone to give you a nickel for it.
What if I was at a toll booth and I really needed it? Would you give me a nickel for it?
If I was a toll worker, I would. But I have a ready market.
Bust out a Weedle card.
I would happily take that trade. That would make me, yeah, that would be, if I end up working at a toll booth, that would suck.
If you wound up working at a toll booth, something went terribly wrong.
Yeah, that would be the demise that we could write a movie about. That would not be good. All right, so I had this other question written out, but I think we kind of just talked quite a bit about it, which was, what does collecting do for you today? And I think we kind of organically covered that, right? Like the sense of community, the sense of...
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely the community for me. I mean, heck yeah, I love pulling a Charizard, but I also like when I pull a Charizard and everybody's like, oh man, that's freaking awesome, you got a Charizard. It's like, hell yeah, I did. My name's Zachmo, I got a Charizard, what's up? I mean, you know what I'm saying? The community.
Is that how you meet ladies lately? Is that your opening line?
I bring them, it's on my Tinder profile.
My name's Zachmo, I got Zach a Charizard.
Martin, wanna come home and see my Charizard? And that sounded way dirtier than I wanted to.
Yep. That's good. That's probably even better for Tinder than you thought then.
Well, yeah. That, or I'll just be like, yo, I got 9 toes. How you doing?
Why don't you tell us why you have 9 toes?
Because I was a bad diabetic.
Okay. So we have to save that for the diabetes episode.
Sure.
Brimley's coming. Did you know that? Brimley's booked for episode 74.
Oh, yeah, is he?
Yeah, yep.
Are you using a Ouija board for that?
Yep.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Hopefully, we'll use one for Marino. Hopefully, he makes it to episode 63. But Brimley will be here on 74.
I mean, it's only, what, 63 is 52 weeks in a year. So, I mean, he's got a year in him.
Maybe. I hope so. Is there anything
My
that
name's
you...
Both Brimley, and I have diabetes.
Diabetes. Is there anything that you never stopped collecting other than debt?
I've been collecting that my whole life. That I stopped collecting. I haven't bought a Funko in a long time.
But do you still consider yourself a Funko Pop collector, like from when you started?
Considering I haven't sold the entire collection and I still have them all, then yeah, I would consider myself still a collector.
What was the last Funko Pop you bought?
What was the last Funko Pop I bought? I think it was an Ahsoka Tano from Star Wars.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
Well, that's because you're a loser.
Okay, yeah, sure. Want to learn about stamps?
So good. Yeah, all your Marvel and Disney ones. Yeah, I think it was Ahsoka. It's either that or another Star Wars one. Or maybe The Office. I don't know. I have almost every single Office pop. There's very few that I don't have.
Office or Parks and Rec? And why both. Parks and Rec?
Answer is both. I think I do actually have every single Parks and Rec one that they made. Except for maybe one. Nope, I do have that one. Parks and Rec. See, this is a conversation definitely for a whole episode to go into which one is better. I mean, I can spend a whole hour talking about which one is better. And at the end of the day, I don't have an answer. I also
could spend a whole hour talking about why Parks and Rec is better, but we can revisit that on another episode.
That is the answer. That is the answer. Listen, The Office is fantastic, but Parks and Rec is better.
I think so too. Aubrey Plaza is a very, very good tiebreaker, in my opinion.
My opinion is the entire cast. With The Office, there's people that if you take away, it's still the same show.
That's actually a good point. I never really thought about it that way.
If you take anybody out of Parks and Rec, because it's such a smaller cast, it's a completely different show.
Yeah, it is. You're right. Every character on that show plays a vital role. Yeah. Yep, you're right. Very interesting.
That's just like my opinion, man.
Well, those are welcome here. We will talk about opinions.
Definitely.
All right. Getting far away from opinions. Do you think that do you look at your collection from a monetary standpoint? Like if you're feeling like, oh man, I'm so broke, or like, oh, I don't have as much money as I wanted. Do you like look to your collection as like part of your portfolio of finances?
Not even a little bit.
No? Okay.
No, not really at all. I mean, to me, it's my collection. I don't think of, oh, I have $2,000 in Pokemon cards. I think my only portfolio is how much my TV and my PS5 is worth.
Interesting. So you're, for those of you who don't know Zachmo or have never been in our Discord, like Zachmo streams PS5 stuff a lot. So that's interesting to me that you consider your PS5 part of your portfolio. Like you could say that's a liquid asset for you. You would sell that if you needed money for something.
Well, it depends on what I need money for.
Yeah, I understand that, of course. Like you're not going to sell it to buy, you know, some a new sweater that you want, but If you needed money for something, the PS5 would be, you would think of that before you thought of selling like your Funko Pops or your Pokemon.
No, Funko Pops would go first.
Funko Pops first, okay.
Yeah. Although maybe Pokemon cards, because I know more of a community of Pokemon cards where I can offload them easier.
Right.
But I would try to sell out the Funko Pops first.
Interesting. I know a guy if you ever need to dump all your Funko Pops.
Good to know.
Shockingly, I know a guy. So you do look at it. You don't consider it from a monetary standpoint, but you do value it from a, you know, monetarily.
Right. I mean, if it came down to it, where if I actually needed funds for something important in an emergency or something, yeah. I mean, I would consider selling them. I look at them that way. I do know which ones are the more expensive ones that I have.
Right.
I have a signed Chewbacca by Peter Mayhew, who was the original awesome. Chewbacca. Yeah. And that one definitely would go for a pretty penny.
I don't know too much about the auto. I'm good. Hard pass. I don't need to buy any. I don't need to start on another journey at the moment. I have way too many things that I'm collecting right now to get into collecting Funko Pops.
I'll get you there.
Like I said, I made that mistake once with Funko Pops. I went into it hoping to enjoy it as a hobby. And then when I moved, I realized how much space they took up, which is very problematic. I live in a pretty small house with two kids. And I guess I have like one or two multi-packs of Funko Pops that I got. There's like a Pokemon one sealed in the closet. And then a Disney princess one sealed in the closet.
But. Nice. Yeah, no, they definitely take up a lot of space. Hence why I wound up taking some out of the boxes.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I have 350. My room is about I don't know, about 8x10. Maybe a little bigger than that. So I do not have room. But
gotta take them out of the box. If you're a true collector, then it doesn't matter anyway.
Right. I don't plan on, you know, selling them right now. Right. So it's not like I'm sitting here thinking, oh, in 10 years, that's going to be worth some money. I'm going to keep it in the box. That's not what I'm thinking. I started collecting them because it's what I like. I only collect the ones that, you know, are specific to things that I enjoy.
Got it.
I don't do it for investing money and thinking, oh, the return on investment is going to be fantastic on this. I do it because I like it. Makes me happy. Yeah. Gives me serotonin.
Mm-hmm. I think that separates a lot. Some collectors from some investors. You know, I think there's people that invest in the space and will buy any Funko Pop, Pokemon card, whatever collectible it is, specifically looking
with
for
the ROI on. Yeah, exactly. With the ROI in their mindset of buying. Right. Yeah, I don't That's think that way. The only time I did think that way is currently with Paldean Fates.
Why? Explain what you're thinking of, yeah.
Because of you.
Okay.
Because I started buying the Hidden Fates. I started buying the Hidden Fates, and they were, what, $22 a pack at one point?
Expensive cards.
Right.
They cooled off now that Sword and Shield took off. Hidden Fates and Sun and Moon era stuff has started to cool off a little bit, but we can talk about the market another time.
Right. But I figured that because those kind of sets, those specialty sets, do garnish a little. That is a specialty set, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
They do garnish a little bit more of money down the line. So I thought a master set down the line could be worth a pretty penny, especially considering absolutely. With Pokemon cards, like with Funko Pops, I don't look at it as a monetary. I'm going to sell this later. Pokemon cards, I think I do look at it a little differently, knowing that what we had in 99 and 2000 and 2001 are worth a decent amount now. Absolutely. Like you said, $15,000, $20,000 for, you know, for some of our cards that we had back then and nobody knew. Right. I mean, everybody thought that, you know, Beanie Babies were going to be the great thing. I mean, what, maybe the Princess Diana one is worth money, but that's probably about it.
Yeah, there's, you know, 20 or 30 that are worth money.
Right. So with Pokemon cards, knowing what I know now, I do look at them a little differently.
I think because a lot of people do. And I think it's, you know, it's, I can't think of the right word. It's intertwined. It's there. The two items are symbiotic, right? You can't have Pokemon card collecting, trading card collecting without some kind of monetary value as a normal functioning adult. And maybe people won't like that I'm saying that, but even people who have no intention of selling or are only collecting the things they like, they still have an idea of what their collection is worth. They know that some of these cards are worth money or can be worth money, right? Otherwise, nobody would be using penny sleeves or top loaders to take care of their cards. If you truly didn't care about the value of your item and you were only buying it to put it in a binder and stick it on a shelf, then we wouldn't be treating cards the way we were. We wouldn't be buying binders that didn't have D-rings in them, right? Those wouldn't exist. Right. There wouldn't be a market for those things. So I think the two things are completely
symbiotic, as you said.
Yeah. They're you can't separate them. They're you can't have one without the other. And I think it's important for people to acknowledge that at the very least. There's a huge beef right now, like in the YouTube community, between like hobbyists and investor bros. And you know, my personal take on it is that even a hobbyist is an investor to some degree, and almost all the investors are hobbyists to a lot of degrees. You know, there's very few people that are investing into Pokemon with no enjoyment, right? My entire job revolves around making some form of profitability from Pokemon, and I consistently struggle to not open my own inventory. Yesterday I had to go
and pack up a few packages.
And I probably opened 20 or 30 packs yesterday, and you know, I'm not supposed to be doing that. That's not, those packs are not for me.
Did you hit anything big?
I, I did not. No, I got a couple Galarian Gallery cards. It was pretty much all Crown Zenith. Mm. I actually was sending a PSA submission out, and I was like, oh, let me see. Let me get this Gold Giratina in my head. I'm like, let me just open a pack and get a Gold Giratina. Yeah, it didn't happen.
Yeah, no shot I would be able to have a sealed collection. I'm one of those people where if I have it sealed, I'm going to sit here and think like, yo, there can be a really good card in there. Yeah. So there's no shot I can keep a sealed collection. And I know a lot of people in the collectors club in our little community that are sealed collectors. And I mean, hats off to them. I don't know how they do it. It's just, it's nothing, not one thing that I can accomplish.
I don't mind collecting sealed. I enjoy sealed collecting. I think it's actually a little bit easier for me to collect sealed than it is to collect singles and slabs.
Now, do you collect sealed with the intent of selling in the future? Not as a business owner, as a collector.
Yes and no. I mean, if something goes from, if I 10x on something, I'm selling it. That's just,
yeah.
I have two kids. You know what I mean? Like, if something that I bought is now 10x, if my house 10x's, I'm selling it. If my car 10x's, which it would never do, I'm selling it. You know, anything.
And if you're confused by the term 10x, people, he's saying if it's 10 times more than what he bought it. I never heard anybody say that. If that 10x's.
I'm sorry. Maybe it's more of an investment or business type term, but 10xing is you can go down a whole YouTube rabbit hole about 10xing and how hard it is to 10x on something. And, you know, crypto is something you can 10x on. If you're lucky, you can also lose all your money in crypto. And Pokemon is something that you can pretty easily 10x on. And
this all sounds like a euphemism.
No. Anyway, the point is, if something gained that amount of value and I needed the finances, I would sell. There are very, very few things in my collection that I would.
Well, that's if you needed the finances.
Right.
Let's say you don't need the finances.
Well, then I would be less motivated to sell.
Right. Okay.
Maybe if somebody offered me a little bit above market price and they needed like it for their collection. Yeah, like an 11X, a 10.2X. But no, it's not like as soon as something hits a certain profit margin, I'm ready to sell it. You know, for my personal sealed collection, I like it because I like the way it looks. I like the packaging. I like the way it looks displayed. I like that whole aspect of collecting. And with a sealed collection, it's not in a binder. It's not in a box of slabs. It's out. It's visible. It's open. You can see, open in that, like it's out in the open on a shelf.
No, yeah,
right?
I get what
like,
you're saying.
The display of that product very prominently. And you can, there's ways to display singles and slabs, but just not to me, not as nicely as sealed. It's like if I were a Funko collector today, knowing what I know now, I would probably be an in-box Funko collector so that I could have them up on display.
Which is the reason why I keep all the exclusives in boxes, because those are the pricier ones.
Right.
Even though, like I said, the Mean Girls ones are pricey now, those weren't exclusives. But yeah, I mean, definitely I wanted to keep the pricier ones in boxes for that reason, just in case someday in the future it needed to go. If I 10x'd on it,
it would go. Nice callback. I see what you did there.
Thank you. I'm glad you caught that.
Yeah, I got that.
But also, yeah, with my Funko, they're all on shelves around my room.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen the shelves.
Right. So, you know, like what I'm bringing that up for is likening it to your sealed collection.
Right.
It's not in a binder. It's out there. You can see it.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll also put that in my Tinder profile.
All right. So what's your favorite part of collecting? I think maybe we kind of already covered this, but it's one of the questions I have written down. You think we covered it well enough?
Yeah. They don't want to hear about me liking everybody anymore.
All right, so what's your least favorite part then of collecting?
The money.
Okay.
I mean, first of all,
that we have to spend it to get the things we want.
Yeah. And things get expensive. And then sometimes I have no impulse control.
I think that's a problem with a ton of collectors' experience. I am not a bad influence.
Terrible influence.
I own a business. You can choose to spend your money wherever you'd like. I provide a service.
I'm not gonna blame the business owner. I get you.
I do think a lot of people who collect have really poor impulse control in general. Not even with Pokemon.
Well, I was gonna say with Pokemon, I feel like buying Pokemon cards, buying packs, it's a gamble.
Sure. There's some degree of gambling to it, absolutely.
You're looking for the top hit. And it could be in this pack, it could be in the next pack, it could be in the next five packs. You're gambling. So in that some people don't have impulse control, it can become an addiction.
Well, definitely.
And I'm sure we'll touch on that in a later episode. The dangers of gambling addiction with Pokemon cards. Yeah. It can 100% become an addiction. And so definitely the downside of it is the finances.
Right. So your least favorite part. Broke. Well, if you're experiencing that issue, then, you know, the counter argument would be to work on how you're budgeting for your collection. You know, I think a lot of people have this FOMO that happens. Like they have to buy it right now. They're never going to get it if I don't get it right now. And I think that goes way beyond just Pokemon. You know, you talk about Funko Pops, 100%. And you use this term, the exclusive ones, right? Well, they're exclusive. They're limited. But how limited? How many are made? Are there 25? Are there 10,000? Right. Well, if you don't get this particular one, can you get it in the future? And that fear of missing on something is what drives all markets, really.
Definitely.
But I could see why that, you know, how expensive collecting can become would be someone's least favorite part of collecting.
I mean, I've set myself a budget on more than one occasion, and I've learned that. I do have the self-control. I definitely do have the self-control to stick to the budget. There are other nights when I'm just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna buy more. But you know, they're definitely. I wouldn't say it outweighs one another. It's definitely balanced. There's some nights I do have the control and some nights I don't. I'm just feeling a certain type of way. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely just the money that sucks. I don't even mind buying something with like crappy cards in it. That doesn't piss me off as much as knowing that that I just spent $50 or some, you know, X amount of money on something. I hate doing that with everything. I hate buying clothes knowing I just spent X amount of money on a shirt or something.
Right.
That's just, you know, me as a person.
Why do you think that might be, Zach Mo?
I don't know. Maybe because I was supposed to be bar mitzvah or something.
Something could be. All right. My so your least
favorite name is Lieb. I don't know.
So your least favorite part is the financial aspect of collecting.
Or specifically financial.
Specifically spending money. So it sounds like if you had more money, that would no longer be your least favorite part of collecting.
It probably would be.
You think so? If you had like unlimited funds, you'd still be like super
tired. If I had unlimited funds?
Yeah.
Or you'd never hear from me again.
Where would you be?
I would buy an island. I would fuck off to that island by myself, get some Wi-Fi. I guess maybe you would hear from me.
Boom. See? You don't want to be alone. No. You're not an alone kind of guy.
No, I'm a social butterfly.
Yeah, I think we have this like romantic version of disappearing to an island, but you know. If my funding weren't an issue. If funding weren't an issue, what do you think your least favorite part of collecting would be?
Pulling crap. Specifically out of Pokemon cards, you know.
Okay.
But then if funding, no, I guess it wouldn't be. Because if I have unlimited funds, then if I, exactly. So, space.
That's my least favorite part.
Yeah. That actually might take over financial for me, even now. That is the 100% reason why I stopped collecting Funko.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I ran out of space. Space is incredibly difficult for me to manage with my inventory and my personal collection and my sealed collection, all kind of interwoven into one office. well, I have my office. I have one office that I'm in right now that it needs to be redone. And then I have my other office where I do the stream. And that's where my sealed collection is for the most part. And yeah, space is tough. Space is the hardest part for me. And that, as a business owner, it's very different. But as a collector, I would say space is the hardest part of collecting for me.
Yeah, I mean, you got to keep buying those binders for me. I mean, my Pokemon cards, I just keep in binders pretty much, or empty ETB boxes, which also take up space. I think I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12. I have 13 sitting on top of each other right now. Perfect. Next to a whole bunch of Funko Pops because I ran out of space.
So no more bulk, it sounds like, for you.
I haven't taken bulk in so long from you.
We got to get rid of the bulk that you have.
Who wants bulk?
I'm sure you have my bulk. If anybody listens to this podcast, I am certain that people will be saying, I want your bulk. Please give me your bulk.
You can have my bulk. Can I have a card for free?
That's another one of my least favorite parts of collecting. All the
giveaway
goblins standpoint. And the.
That's not part of your collecting standpoint. That's business. No, that's
true. My business. You're right. I got it. It's hard to keep the two separate.
Can a mod take care of that? Hey collector, what's your favorite card? What's the best card you ever pulled? Can I have a
free card? I got asked that question 400 times a week.
At least.
Yeah. So I had some other questions written down. I think we covered a lot of this. Here's a good question. I think it's a good question. Why do you think some people collect and other people don't? They just seem to have no interest whatsoever in collecting. Like, what is that?
I think that just comes down to personality.
Some people have good personalities and other people suck. Is that like?
Well, no, that's not what I meant in the slightest. What I meant is that, you know, some people find joy in collecting. Some people just don't. Some people find joy in going on runs, riding a bike. Some people just don't. Some people like playing video games. Right. Some people like playing video games. Some people don't. I mean, I think that's just what it comes down to, in my personal opinion.
I'm interested to look up the psychology behind that. Maybe we'll revisit that, the psychology of collecting.
Maybe we'll find my therapist from sixth grade with all the dolls in her room. Because she's a collector, clearly.
Obviously.
Collected all them damn dolls. We sat there and played Chinese checkers one day for like 45 minutes. We didn't talk about anything. Like, what kind of freaking therapy is this?
I was just going to say, who paid for that session? Why were you playing Chinese checkers? I don't even know how to play Chinese checkers.
I barely remember.
Very interesting.
Good thing I had, you know, my mom's insurance at the time. It was that good old New York teacher insurance.
Oof. Underpaid profession. Shout out to your mom for being a teacher.
Very. She also was a special education teacher. Oof, which they do harder. Not give resources to. Yeah. They really, you know, they really fucked her a lot on that.
My aunt and cousin both teach special ed. Or, well, my aunt retired now, but my cousin still does. Yeah, crazy, crazy, crazy job.
Yeah, definitely is.
What are some things that you want to collect that you haven't started collecting yet?
That is a good question. I couldn't tell you. Toes.
Oh my God. I'm hearing like a weird sound in my microphone. Oh, there it goes. It stopped. So you want to collect toes because you only have 9.
Yes.
Got it. Nothing else that you're like, oh yeah, one day I'll start collecting blah, blah, blah. Like, let's go back to this.
Unlimited funds.
Yeah. Not necessarily unlimited funds, but where, you know, you had the funding to do what you wanted to do. Like, when the collective is the number one podcast in the world, we take over Kill Tony, we take over My Favorite Murder, we take over all the other top podcasts, Serial. When we're number one and we're raking in the big podcast bucks, what are you buying?
What am I buying? I have no fucking clue.
Interesting. Very much an in the moment collector. No long term collection goals.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing I can really think of that draws me into it at the moment.
Very interesting.
Because if we make it big, not if, when we make it big, let me rephrase that. My mindset isn't what I'm going to collect. It's more, I don't want to rent in New York City anymore.
Definitely. I can see that. Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Got it. So you're going to take...
But I'm still eating my ramen because there's nothing like a cup of noodles.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with a cup of noodles. People don't know that bodega life. People don't know what a bodega is all about.
Now, do you even know what a bodega is all about?
Yes, I know what a bodega is about, bro.
Yeah, okay.
I grew up in Jersey, and then I moved out to the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I lived there for about a decade. There's some bodegas in Minneapolis, not really, not like New York City bodegas. I would go to New York City quite a bit when I was younger, before I moved out to the Twin Cities. Then I moved back, and now I'm here in Jersey. We don't really have bodegas necessarily. We have more like corner stores.
Right.
But they got like bodega vibes. Like right down the street from my house, there's a good one. He's got bodega vibes. It's like, how many hash browns you want on your pork roll, egg, and cheese?
Pork roll. Sorry, that I'm not from Jersey, but I have a lot of friends in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go to a diabetes camp in North Jersey.
A diabetes camp? What is this fucking heavyweight? What the hell is a diabetes camp? This one time at diabetes camp? This is a thing?
Sticker. Oh,
this
yeah.
is a thing? Okay. All right. We'll circle back to that. Sorry to interrupt.
So you said, how many hash browns do you want with your pork roll? That's the big Jersey argument.
Taylor Hammer pork roll.
Taylor Hammer pork roll.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to go. I can tell you the answer if you'd like to know.
It's Taylor Ham.
It's not. It's no longer Taylor Ham. It was Taylor Ham at one point. So right, well, John
this,
Taylor.
This will have to be. Okay, go ahead.
John Taylor is the name of the man who invented the illustrious delicacy of breakfast food that we now call pork roll. The factory was in Trenton, New Jersey. Still produced. John Taylor. Taylor brand pork roll is produced in Trenton, New Jersey. If you've never had Taylor Ham before, it's delicious, and I feel terrible for you. Basically, he invented this meat, and this meat was successful. It took off. It was in the market only in a very small way, just in New Jersey and sometimes Philadelphia. Some places in New York City have it too. And anyway, the government eventually stepped in and said, what is this ham that you're selling? And they looked at the ingredients and they said, you can't call this ham. There's not enough realistic ingredients to be calling this ham. It is illegal to refer to it as ham. Ham is already a concoction of extra parts of a pig all mushed together. And
some of the best
Taylor
parts.
Ham, the best parts. Taylor ham, which is now called pork roll, could not be called ham. It was not enough percentage of whatever parts go into ham, I guess. And so they had to change the name.
I did not know any of this.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. They had to change the name to pork roll. Look it up. John Taylor, great guy. A real mensch.
Real mensch.
John
Look at
Taylor.
You with some random ass
I got,
ham
I got
pork roll knowledge.
Pork roll knowledge, bro. So when I'm at a store here, I order it as Taylor ham.
Is that what the store is calling it?
A lot of places call it pork
roll. Yeah, I visited some friends down in South Jersey, and we went out to get breakfast, and we had pork roll.
Yeah. If I go to like a bagel shop, I say like, let me get a Taylor ham, egg and cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup, everything bagel.
Mm.
That's the way.
You know what bagels are the best bagels?
Like
New York City bagels.
Oh, New York has some decent bagels. Not going to front.
Decent?
Decent. They're decent.
All right. We're also going to have a whole episode on why New York City bagels are the best bagels.
Bantam Bagels closed. How do you fail as a bagel shop in New York City? Explain this.
You go on Bleecker Street where the rent is absolutely ridiculous.
Dude, they were an international brand. They were in Starbucks.
Well, maybe there was more profit staying in Starbucks. Oh, no, they're not even in Starbucks.
No, they're not. They're no, not they don't exist anymore.
Maybe they started collecting Pokemon cards. And some of them doesn't have impulse control.
Maybe. That's very possible.
bought every PSA 10 base set first edition Zart.
During the bubble? During the Jake Paul bubble?
Yes.
Yeah, that bubble has burst. Vintage has come down a lot. We can talk about that, like I said, on a different episode. Oh, yeah, the vintage bubble. Big time burst. Huge burst.
It's not 10x anymore?
Depends on when you bought in. Still tremendously more valuable than you know when it first came out, but nothing like what we were seeing during the pandemic. The Jake Paul or Logan Paul bubble. Logan Paul, Jake Paul's boxing. Logan Paul did Pokemon. Anyway, the bubble has burst on vintage. It'll eventually appreciate, but that's another whole debate. There's a whole series of people out there who think that buying vintage Pokemon is the best way to invest in Pokemon, you know, the safest investment. And maybe that's true. It could be. I would say like buying a vintage card at today's prices is kind of like buying into, you know, like Google stock or like Coca-Cola stock or, you know, some company that has traditionally performed really well, very slowly over very long periods of time. You know, vintage is like the real estate version of buying Pokemon, right? You're going to make a little bit of money pretty much every time if you give it enough time. Whereas when you're collecting modern stuff, you're kind of banking on the fact that things don't take a downturn. And typically modern can have these tremendous jumps. We're seeing it right now with Sword and Shield. I mean, the price on these cards has gone through the roof in the past month and a half.
That's definitely something that we'll touch on in an episode. We'll go, you know, all into that, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Agreed, amigo. Well, I'm out of questions. We organically covered all the questions that I had.
Well, before you rudely interrupted me, I was about to say, well, I think we had a solid pilot episode, if you ask me.
I think so too.
And I think we covered what will be and pretty much, you know, everybody can get a feel of what we are, who we are. And, you know, just listening to two schmucks go back and forth about Pokemon collecting, the state of collecting, state of investing in collecting. I said collecting far too much in that sentence.
It's okay. You like to collect things.
I like to collect things. I think we should call it there. And, if you haven't already, join the Collectors Club join the Collectors Club Discord.
Yes.
And if you join, there might just be a little server there where you can, you know, put some input into what we're talking about on our weekly episodes. If you want to hear us talk about something, feel free to let us know what you want to hear us talk about. And we will try our best to answer everybody and to include everybody's collective thoughts in the collective.
Absolutely. And make sure you follow collector_MCB on TikTok. Join the Collectors Club Discord. Follow Zach Mo on Twitch. Zach, what's your Twitch?
Across all social medias, Twitch, Instagram, you can find me at Zach Mo Martin, all one word, ZACKMOMARTIN. YouTube, Instagram, Twitch, Snapchat, you want to snap me? Go ahead.
I'll be avoiding that until the lava lamp is out. But I think that we'll call it here. The end of a great pilot episode. Zach, thanks for doing this. I'm glad our little brainchild is being born here. And I don't have a great outro. Bye. Well,
thank you for having me. Bye, and you stay classy, the collective.
Ooh. We're going to get sued.
By who? Will Ferrell? He's not going to see this.
Wrong.